He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the voice of Sovereign Grace. The Voice of Sovereign Grace is co-hosted by various ministries who, in spite of their differences, all firmly believe in the doctrines of Sovereign Grace. Simply put, these ministries all proclaim the glorious truth that God alone saves sinners, because sinners cannot even help save themselves. Tonight's edition of The Voice of Sovereign Grace is hosted by Pastor Joe Lusardo of Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey. For more details, visit bolfellowship.org. That's bolfellowship.org. Or call 866-38-BREAD. That's 866-38-BREAD. And now, here's tonight's host, Pastor Joe Lusardo of Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey.
The chief end of God is to glorify himself and enjoy himself forever. Such a statement is bound to make many Christians troubled. What is the response that you have when you hear a statement like that? Is God right to be God-centered? Does it make him egotistical and a megalomaniac, as one atheist suggested? Hi, this is Damian Garofalo, and I'm here with Joseph Lusardo of Bread of Life Fellowship in Wayne, New Jersey. Pastor Joe, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says that God makes his decrees according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That verse, along with many other verses in the sermon that we're about to hear, gives us an idea of God and his ultimate purpose for all that he does. Well, what is his ultimate purpose and goal?
Well, Damian, God's ultimate goal and purpose in all that he does is single, and it's more than any of his magnificent attributes, his mercy, his justice, or even his love. There is one overriding motive which God reveals as the supreme reason and intent for all that he accomplishes in history, and it is to proclaim and celebrate his own glory. And the scriptures often call upon us as God's people to praise and glorify his name because of his goodwill toward us. But how often do we consider the idea that the praise of God's glory is not merely the result of his actions, but is in fact the goal and purpose of all of his works?
Well, that sounds like it might make some Christians uneasy. However, when you consider these things and what the Bible teaches about them, God is revealed as a God who not only does perfect actions, but he is by his very nature perfect. And so it only makes sense that the God of the universe would be worshipped in such a way.
Amen. Absolutely. If someone has a hard time accepting this, we need to realize that this is a truth that ultimately humbles us and puts us where we need to be. And we are responsible as God's people to renew our minds based upon the scripture. If the scripture challenges our existing notions, and if our perception of God's motives differ from that which the scripture reveals them to be, then we need to repent and conform our minds to what God reveals about himself.
Amen. Well, let's take you back into Bread of Life Fellowship to hear more about this concept in a sermon entitled To the Praise of His Glory. And I'll be back at the end to let you know how you can receive this teaching in its entirety.
Today in our time, we're going to look at the reason more carefully for this wonderful phrase that we have here, to the praise of the glory of His grace. It's so rich. It's so full. Today, what we're going to do is first we're going to look at the text. And we're going to see what the text says about God's intention and God's motive in saving a people for his own glory. After that, we're going to find out that this motive is not unique to this text in Scripture. We're going to find that this motive is throughout Scripture. In fact, it's woven throughout Scripture. That the undergirding motive of God and all that he does is to bring glory to his name. And that which he does for his own good pleasure. As we go through the scriptures, I'll tell you up front, one of two things are going to happen to every single person in this room. One of two things. When the gospel is preached, it will be to some in this room a fragrance. It will be an enjoyment. You'll cherish it. You will not tire of hearing of the glory of God. A hearty amen will well up in your heart from within you. And you're, as children of the Father, you'll say, yes, that's my God. He's the one I believe in. He's inherently worthy of more than I can give him, so much more than I can offer him, that even my best, yes, even my all is not enough for the glory that he deserves. But then others will hear the very same words, no different words. There's not two messages going out. It's the same words, and to others it'll be a stench. Yes, that's right. The very same words that are a fragrance unto life for some will be a stench to others. And they will look at the God of Scripture, and they will say, this God is an egomaniac. This God is selfish. This God is self-seeking. I want no part of him. In fact, I can't wait to run out of here. And I would say if you're in the second group, if you start to think that as a result of hearing the Word of God preached today, that unless you repent, you will even hate God, and you will hate his Word, and you'll seek to run. You'll seek to run back to your tradition, seek to run back to your comfort. Today, the Messiah that is preached is the one of whom Isaiah wrote would be a rock of offense, a stumbling stone. And the two types of people, one will fall upon that rock in sweet abandon, and the others will have that rock fall upon them and be crushed by its weight. As we discuss this matter of the glory of God, the Hebrew word is kavod, and it literally means weight. God's glory is supposed to be a weight. It's supposed to press out self. Press out selfishness. Press out our own ideas of what we think God is. It's supposed to press that out so that we might be renewed in our spirits, so that we might freely worship God as he reveals himself, not as we think he is. So we'll look at this today, the God of Scripture, and particularly how he reveals himself and his motives and the intent of his heart as he accomplishes what he wills in human history. Let's look into the Scripture with the question, does God's Word teach that God does all things for his own glory? Isaiah 48, verses 9 through 11. God says to his people, for my name's sake, I will defer my anger. For my praise, I will restrain it from you so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another? What do we find repeated there? My name's sake, the sake of my praise, my own sake, that my name not be profaned. My glory I will not share with another, like a hammer, one after another, hammering home the centrality of God in his own affections. God's ultimate goal is to uphold and display the glory of his name. God's name is spoken as the end of all of his acts of goodness, all of his acts of mercy in salvation. For 1 Samuel 12:22 says, the Lord will not forsake his people. Why? For the sake of his great name. Psalm 23, we all know it. He restores our soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. 1 John 2:12 tells us the forgiveness of sin is for God's sake. He said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Psalm 79:9. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Turn to Isaiah 43. We find that God created us for his glory. Isaiah 43, verse 6. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth, every one who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory. God called a people, separates a people. Why? For his glory. In verse 21 of the same chapter, Isaiah 43, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. In Revelation 4:11, the 24 elders sing, thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. It is God's intent to fill the earth with His glory. Habakkuk 2:14, the earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Jeremiah 3:11, I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, declares the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. And I will say to you, if you're not clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to shake your world. He's shaking our nation for a reason, so that we might cling to Him, so that we might be a name, a people, a praise, and a glory. God even says in Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made all for Himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. And Exodus 9:16 supports this as God raises up Pharaoh and brings Moses to Pharaoh. And Moses says, speaking as God's word to Pharaoh, he says in 9:16 of Exodus, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. And then God defeats Pharaoh to show His glory from Exodus chapter 14. He says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen. Psalm 106, verse 7 and 8. God rescued Israel for His glory. He said, our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make known His mighty power. God acts in human history, in judgment, in grace, in chastening, in acts of mercy. Why? For His name's sake. When Jesus came in the flesh, He came with great glory. Displays of lights in the heavens, angelic voices all around, and the rich and the poor and the young and the old all drawn to Him. And then throughout His life, everything He did unto the glory of the Father. And then in His death and His burial and resurrection, they accomplished the same goal, glory. In John 12, verse 27, just the days just before His passion, Jesus said, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify Your name. Jesus' ultimate aim for us is that we might see that glory. John 17, Christ's high priestly prayer. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom You've given Me may be with Me where I am. Why? To see My glory that You've given Me, because You loved Me before the foundation of the world. And Jesus is coming back again to display glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed. And we're going to marvel on that day. Then the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. John 16:14, Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. How is the Holy Spirit glorified? How is Jesus glorified in the church today? The Holy Spirit in us declares it to us. Then Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, so that, a word of intent, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. God instructs us to do everything to His glory. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Peter 4:11, whoever serves, let him serve by the strength which God supplies. In order that, again, intent, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In fact, we find that God actually secures His own glory through His people in our works. He secures it for Himself by foreordaining the works that will glorify His name. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, brother, sister. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And God expects all of His creation to glorify His name. He even holds unbelievers accountable. In one of two ways, unbelievers are accountable. First of all, in the case of Herod, it said Herod didn't give God glory, so God struck him dead in Acts 12:23. But then also, there's a final judgment. And the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And why will they do this? To the glory of the Father. I hope you can see that God, and this is just a smattering of verses, God, the God who was revealed to us in the Scripture, not the God of the idol factory of your mind, the God who was revealed to us in Scripture, the only true and living God, is certainly concerned with His being glorified in His creation. That's why if you're not saved today, if you're not a Christian, or maybe you think you are a Christian, you go by the name Christian, and you're unconcerned with the glory of God. The glory of God bores you. The glory of God tires you. There's a day coming when you will bend your knee to Him. In that day, every knee shall bow. And whether you bow in joyful praise with Him as your Savior, or you bow in utter ruin before Him as your judge, is going to be determined as to whether you will glorify Him now by receiving the grace of forgiveness now, today. Friend, if you're hearing this today, there is no reason for you not to come to Christ. There's absolutely no reason. The Bible says that all have sinned and what? Fallen short of the glory of God. And if in this life, if you live your life by your own will, and you will not bend to His will, one day you will bend your knee before Him as the holy judge. He's coming and He will judge the living and the dead according to a perfect standard. And that perfect standard is His law. And by that standard, you and I and everyone in this room will fail. Because we have all broken the law. And by that standard, we will be judged. We've fallen short of the glory. We are sinners by nature and in deed. And the wages of sin is death. But, friend, but, if you have but looked Christ, if you would but look upon Him, turn your glance to Him. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the way of salvation. God has made this way. And if you will but look to Him in faith, the only one who ever glorified God perfectly in His life, the only one who ever fulfilled the law, if you will receive the gift of God of eternal life by faith that was paid for already for you by His blood, if you would just but look to Him and receive the gift and bend your knee here and now, and trust Christ and not yourself, and repent of your selfish, self-centered, self-consumed way, and bend the knee to God, you too will find forgiveness. You too will find a place at the table of the family of God. And I pray that all hearing this would not need to glorify God in wrath and in judgment later, but would glorify Him in life and worship now. It is a free gift, and you receive it by faith, by merely believing it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Brothers and sisters, you're chosen, you're predestined, you're ordained as the church, you're called out as God's people for this reason, to display His glory. Look at chapter 2 verse 7, Ephesians. What does it say? That the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ. We're to display this. The unmerited grace of God, His saving of sinners, is for His glory. It's a product of His free grace. It's a display of the kindness of His good will. And that's what you are, church. A display of God's glory. That is why He has called you. We are the New Testament equivalent of the Shekinah, the presence of God, that pillar of fire in the tabernacle. You realize that? I don't think we realize this. If we're honest, I don't think we get it. or we certainly would behave differently. If you'd just give it consideration before you go to work in the morning, give it consideration as you open up your day, before you open up your mouth to your spouse or your children or your coworkers, before you decide what you're going to do first thing in the morning, give this consideration. You are a display of His glory to the world. Your children, your husband, your wife, your friends, all you come in contact with, you are displaying His glory. And even beyond that, look at Ephesians 3:10, even beyond to the powers of the air. Chapter 3, verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, there's the expression of glory, by whom? The church, to whom? The principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's going to come up time and time and time again in the book of Ephesians. We're going to see that that is your purpose, church. You really want to be a purpose-driven church? Well, let that be your purpose. The same purpose which drives God should drive you. Be consumed with glorifying God. It consumes Him, and it must and will consume you. Let me return to the quandary that I raised earlier. How is it God's glory is tied to His love and His grace? How do we understand this? Well, think of it this way. If you love someone, what do you do for them? What do you give them? If you love someone, you give them the best you have to offer. If God loves you, then what must He give you? He must give you the best that He has to offer. Well, what is the best thing that God, in all of the universe, what is the best thing that God can offer you? Is it your salvation? Well, that's pretty good, but even better than that, eternal life? Yeah, that's good. The greatest thing that God can offer you is Himself. If He were to give you the best of health, the best job, the best spouse, the best iPod, the best vacation, the best success in any realm, but withhold Himself from you, He would hate you. But if He gives you Himself, if He gives you God and nothing else besides, He loves you infinitely. You know, God loved the priesthood in Israel so much so, what did He give them? When they were dividing up the land, Gad, you get this. Reuben, you get this. Naphtali, you get this. Levi, what do we get? God says, you get Me. The priesthood of Israel, a picture of God's elect among the broader nation, a shadow of the church today, that the people of God today are called even a kingdom of priests. God says in Numbers 18:20 to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. And the psalmist loves this. In Psalm 73, he says, my flesh and my heart are going to fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Brother, is that your attitude? Sister, is that your attitude? Or are you still trying to secure stuff on earth? If you are the living church, the people of God, who 1 Peter 2 says are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, then God Himself is your inheritance. And by comparison, there's nothing on earth we would desire.
There's a lot more to this message that we were not able to air today, but if you'd like to listen to it in its entirety, you can find it online at our website or at sermonaudio.com. Just look for the sermon called To the Praise of His Glory. If you'd like for us to send you a free CD of this message, send us an email at info@bolfellowship.org. Or you may visit our website, www.bolfellowship.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-38-BREAD. That's 1-866-38-BREAD. 866-38-BREAD. Be sure to leave your mailing information and we'll be happy to send that to you. Again, look for it online or ask for it by name, To the Praise of His Glory. We'd also like to invite you this Sunday to our Lord's Day worship service. We meet at Calvary Gospel Church, which is located at 1559 Hamburg Turnpike in Wayne, New Jersey, at 11:30 a.m. Visit our website for directions and more information. Once again, bolfellowship.org. Until next time, this is Damian Garofalo for Pastor Joseph Lissardo and the entire Bread of Life Fellowship Church, exhorting you to keep listening to God's voice of sovereign grace.
In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." Have you heard the voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, calling you to himself through tonight's broadcast? If so, take up your cross and follow him. Thank you for listening to tonight's edition of The Voice of Sovereign Grace, which was sponsored by Bread of Life Fellowship of Wayne, New Jersey. For more details, visit bolfellowship.org. That's bolfellowship.org, or call 866-38-BREAD, 866-38-BREAD. That's 866-38-BREAD. For a list of all the ministries who co-host The Voice of Sovereign Grace, visit voiceofsg.org. That's voiceofsg.org. We hope you tune in every week to The Voice of Sovereign Grace.